From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. There's a ton going on, and we are going to get down to the bottom of it. Today, we're brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you through game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. We have a great show coming up for you. We're going to get into the details about the Denver matchup here with Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos. That's coming up in a bit, but the Chiefs made a lot of moves. We're going to get to that early. I'm Ryan Tracy, your founder over at Rogue Analytics, and you can see stuff over at RGR Football as well.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate it. When we jump in real quick, I just want to say this. The Las Vegas Raiders had to send home their entire starting offensive line because it sounds like Trent Brown has COVID or is going on the COVID list. So could be a big shakeup in the AFC West, whether or not they even play this week.
Wow. Yeah, that's significant, especially with the Chiefs playing the Broncos. That's the Raiders obviously are kind of on a roll and they want to sustain that. That's going to be tough for them.
Man. Well, and they're just coming off a bye week, so they don't have a bye week that they can.
Yeah, they can't give anything up.
Which you have to wonder, you know, with them coming off a bye week, what was Trent Brown doing if he's testing positive for COVID? But not trying to speculate. But anyway, you know, you look at this team, and so I do want to dive into a couple of moves the Chiefs just made. But real quick, it just got posted. The Chiefs-Broncos practice report for the Broncos. Jeremiah Tachu, Andrew Beck, Demar Dotson, and Dalton Risner. Oh, and Deontay Spencer also did not practice. Limited Chubb, Hamler, Fant, and Purcell. So you would have to figure that the top five probably aren't going to play this week. Chubb is limited. I would imagine he plays. Hamler and Fant, we actually talk about with Cody. And I do think that they have a chance of playing. But Risner is going to be, could be a big one, although he struggled this year.
Yeah, he has not been what he has been in years past. I kind of look for him to be one of the ascending guys on that Broncos line, but doesn't sound like it's going to be. And hey, everybody's got to go through this. Every team in every division is dealing with some form or fashion of, if it's not COVID, it's something else.
Yeah, and real quick, I just saw Demar Dotson. I apologize, it is not injury related, so it looks like it's probably just a day of rest, so he should be fine for the Broncos. I apologize on that. Real quick, Taco Charlton, Alex Okafor, Mitchell Schwartz, and Sammy Watkins all did not practice on Wednesday. So I'm guessing that at least two of those guys, Schwartz and Watkins, are not going to be able to play this week. I would imagine Okafor doesn't. Taco Charlton is going to be a big question mark. But the Chiefs also made some other moves when it came to injury. It looks like Colin Saunders could be on his way back. He got designated to return, and so did Martinez Rankin.
So that opens a 21-day window for each of them, right? And man,
I think it's just for Rankin because Rankin was the one that was on the PUP list.
Oh, okay.
So I think with Colin Saunders, I think he was designated to return, and I think he's on, like, he could play this week. He's not on the active roster. He's got a week to practice, I think, and they would have to activate him before the game on Sunday, which I think they'd have to activate him by Saturday. But I do think there is a possibility he plays this week.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I mean, that just leaving that, not having to designate it and let him practice and see where he's at before you bring him back all the way, that's a plus, because I think they're going to have to move some things around. Taco's the only surprise who didn't practice, and that developed after the game is what Andy said. And yep. Some of those things are troublesome. So if you can get a little bit more depth going on there, I don't know who they'll bump out without Mike Dana, without Alex Okafor, without Taco Charlton. It's going to be a lot of Tano Passanio, and try to get him some relief with some rotation, and maybe Collins back up to par. I hope so.
Well, and you would have to think that maybe they're going to be looking at kicking Chris Jones out on some rotation if they have to go that direction for, to have somebody out there at D end. Just going to be really hard to know, because you're bringing back a defensive tackle. That's not really going to help you that much at that defensive end position. But Jones has shown he has the ability to play out there at times. So maybe they decide to go that way.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned it earlier in the week. Maybe it was on the live stream after the game. Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Tashaun Wharton take some snaps out there. He's got the speed, and we all have seen what he's done. He's coming along. He might as well learn the other position as well, because they want that big body rotation to be really four positions.
Well, and we got to be fair. We would be very remiss if we didn't mention there was some guy named Le'Veon Bell who also practiced for the Chiefs on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. after he had some wings, evidently. So good for him.
So that's good for Kansas City. I think that's going to really improve their roster. If you can get Colin Saunders back and Martinez Rankin, that really could help you. There was another move. The Buffalo Bills released Quentin Spain. I wonder if Kansas City is going to make a look, or at least look at that, to maybe bring in somebody to replace Osemele a little bit.
Yeah, you never know. It's certainly worth taking a look, and I think we'll take a look at that tomorrow as well. And another topic that I think we'll cover tomorrow is what the Bell addition means to the game plan and why the NFL should be so scared. That said, I'm interested to hear what you get into with Cody coming up here after we get back from this. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on important things like mortgage and food and daily occurrences like that. There's a lot that goes into your life, and why would you want to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more on the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new dealership when you can go to rockauto.com?
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. I can attest to this. I really did like the Rock Auto site when I was looking for something for my car a couple of weeks ago. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much as for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right? Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. They know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Broncos country, Chiefs kingdom. There is a crossover episode happening this week because it's the first divisional matchup between the Denver Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday. Kansas City coming off a short week, coming to Denver. I'm very excited to talk with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs for a crossover Thursday here on the Locked On NFL Network. Chris, always great getting into these crossovers with you. The Kansas City Chiefs have had a really strong season so far. They've overcome some adversity here and there. We saw them respond on Monday Night Football with a big win over the Buffalo Bills. Now they have a short week for the Denver Broncos. I'm not going to waste any time here. The first question I want to ask you is, we saw the Chiefs kind of transition a little bit. They've been a team that's been able to throw it, rack up a lot of yards through the air with Patrick Mahomes. We saw a little bit of a different approach from them on Monday against the Bills. They ran the ball, and they ran it really well with Clyde Edwards-Helaire and also with Patrick Mahomes. But now this Sunday, Le'Veon Bell more than likely is going to make his debut for Kansas City. How does the addition of him really impact this matchup for the Chiefs from an offensive perspective?
You know, Cody, I think the biggest thing that you're going to be looking at in this game is, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be seeing a lot of the same carries that he was getting before. He may not get, I think he got 26 on Monday night. He may not get that many, but I think he ran very well. I think he's earned his starting role. I still think he's going to be the starter. I don't think that's going to change. What I do think you're going to see is, I think Le'Veon Bell is going to come in on specific situations, especially in this first game. And I think he's going to be more of a third down type back. Because to me, what you have in Darrell Williams, I think he is a good in between the blockers or in between the tackles type runner. But I don't think he gives you the same burst or same speed. He's not as great catching the ball out of the backfield, obviously, as Le'Veon Bell. So I think that's really what Kansas City is going to be looking at. I really am very curious to see what they kind of do with Le'Veon Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think that they could go some very interesting two-back sets with those two because you never know who's going to run the ball at that from that perspective. But I really am excited to see how they kind of get him into the fold in this offense.
Well, one of the things that too, I wanted to ask you, just pinpointing looking at Kansas City, one of the things I was looking at is their game against the Las Vegas Raiders. They lost that one 40-32. A little bit of a shootout, but the Raiders really kind of controlled that second half there. What was the biggest difference, in your opinion, from what you've seen from the Chiefs and how dominant they've been? What happened on that Sunday against the Raiders? And was there a little bit of a blueprint that teams might use against Kansas City that maybe Denver could replicate this Sunday?
You know, I think the big thing, and I don't mean to take anything away from the Raiders, but I guess I will with this comment. I think Kansas City, in a lot of ways, beat themselves in that game. And the reason I say that is because what you saw over and over and over and over again against the Raiders was you saw DBs looking in the backfield and getting beat by Carr in his eyes. And I don't think Kansas City is going to continue to do that. And I do think that that's going to be something that you look at their pass defense. They were number one in the NFL in DVOA and pass defense going into that Raiders game. Obviously, they're not there anymore. But you look at what they were able to do to Josh Allen, to that Buffalo, that vaunted Buffalo offense. They really slowed them down. They really made it to where Josh Allen couldn't do anything. They weren't really getting home and getting sacks, but they were effective enough to get some of his throws to be off time. And they didn't have the big mental mistakes that you had against the Raiders. When you're looking at the Raiders game, I can think of specific instances where Charvarius Ward is looking in the backfield, not paying attention to where the receiver is, and then his receiver gets behind him, and there's nobody back there to help him. Tyrann Mathieu trying to come over the top to help him on a long touchdown pass. That's not going to work in some scenarios. You also have a situation where Daniel Sorensen was caught peeking in the backfield, and I can't remember which corner was beat on that route. It might have been Fenton, it might have been Warren, I'm not sure. But the problem was Daniel Sorensen is looking at a route coming over the middle instead of being the single high guy like he was supposed to be and letting nobody get behind him. And you simply can't do that in the NFL. If you do that multiple times a game, you're going to lose. And that's really what Kansas City did in that game. I do think that Denver has a lot of weapons. I think that they have the ability to, you know, spread this team out and really put some points up. I don't expect that they're going to put 40 on Kansas City. I do think that it's probably going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game from that perspective. But I think what you saw against the Raiders isn't necessarily going to be replicated unless Kansas City continues, or I guess goes back to having their eyes in the backfield, looking at the quarterback and trying to really, I think part of it was also them trying to stop the run. They were looking at it, trying to say, okay, we know we struggle in the running game. Josh Jacobs is going to run the ball down our throats. We need to slow that down. And when you do that, then you open yourself up to big pass plays, and that really kills them.
Well, and part of me too, in terms of this, you've probably looked at some of the Broncos film. In terms of that secondary for Kansas City, one thing Denver did against New England last week, and New England has one of the best secondaries in the National Football League, is that they constantly took deep shots. They took 9 deep balls past 20 yards, and they were aggressive all game long. I imagine the Chiefs, I know that Tyrann Mathieu, I know the cornerbacks, they're going to be looking at that in some of those third down situations or even first down situations. Imagine we're going to see a different look, maybe a cover 2, a cover 4 this week from Steve Spagnuolo. But in your opinion, if you could pinpoint any weakness on the Chiefs defense, what's been an area for them defensively leading into this matchup that you feel like they have to improve on going against the Denver Broncos?
Honestly, it's got to be discipline in the back end of the defense. I think that, you know, what you saw against Buffalo, I think part of that was Josh Allen was missing some passes. I don't expect that's going to happen necessarily as much with Drew Lock, but I think one thing that if Kansas City can be disciplined in the back end and they can really stick to their assignments and be where they're supposed to be, I think that goes a long way. I do expect Denver's going to come in and try to really go after them with deep balls. And, you know, you expect that, especially with what we saw against the Bills and against the Raiders. So that's what Kansas City has to be ready for, and they've got to be disciplined and be ready for that type of play. But, you know, Juan Thornhill, I think, is getting better every week after his injury, coming back from his injury. You know, you already talked about Tyrann Mathieu, and the corners, I think, have played pretty well for the most part, though they've struggled at times.
Well, the last one I have for you here in terms of the opposite end of what you see with defensive backs, in terms of the wide receiver group here for Kansas City, Tyreek Hill, we know Mecole Hardman is a big part of there. Sammy Watkins missed the Buffalo game. Any kind of early prognosis? Do you think Sammy Watkins returns this Sunday against Denver? Because even if he misses, Kansas City still has a variety of guys that Patrick Mahomes can go to, and we've seen them divvy out the distribution offensively pretty even.
I would agree with that, and I will say I don't think Sammy Watkins makes this game. I don't think he plays. I honestly thought that they were going to put Sammy Watkins on IR and lose him for at least 3 weeks. I think that that would have been the smarter move because he has shown a tendency to have hamstring injuries that linger. So in my opinion, I would have set him through the Jets game, the game after the Broncos. So I don't think he's going to play this week. It would really surprise me if he does. But what you did see against the Bills was DeMarcus Robinson stepped into his role that Sammy played and really played his position very well, did a good job as a possession receiver. I'd like to see him keep the ball high and tight as opposed to holding it away from his body like he did at times on Monday night. But you know, I think that they do have a lot of weapons, and you know, there's another thing that, you know, a lot of people are seeing as not really being a big issue, but Kansas City also lost Anthony Sherman to the COVID at least to having to go onto the COVID list, and he wasn't active for this past game. And they moved Travis Kelce into the backfield and used it in a lot of split back type situations, or wing, however you want to look at it, type situations. I thought that was very interesting to see them do that and break Kelce into the backfield and really use him as basically a fullback, because they did not throw the ball out of that formation at all.
A lot of interesting insight. If you're a Broncos fan, you're learning a lot about what to expect from the Kansas City Chiefs offensively, defensively, from Chris Clark, host of Locked On Chiefs. But here in a moment, we're going to flip the script. Chris is going to ask me a bunch of questions as it pertains to the Denver Broncos, and we're going to give Chiefs fans a little bit of insight as to what to expect from Denver here in the AFC West here in just a moment.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for the game no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through this game and all the others to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are our generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
All right, so Cody, let's go ahead and get into this really quick. Denver Broncos, I have to admit, when this season started, I thought that they were going to be the second best team in the AFC West. I will say that up front. It looks like they've struggled a little bit, but the thing that really has stood out to me is you have Drew Lock, who I think played better early in the season. Then he got hurt. Then he came back against the Patriots. They didn't score any touchdowns, but your offensive weapons have been hurting a little bit because you lost Cortland Sutton. I apologize. What have you really seen from the offense so far this year?
Well, and that's the thing too, because you got Drew Lock in the week one against Tennessee, and then you lose him on the second offensive series week two against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then you lose Cortland Sutton, arguably the team's number one target. It definitely hurt the Broncos. And I say what hurt Denver more consistently than anything else was the fact that after they lost Drew Lock, they were really struggling at quarterback. Jeff Driskel got the start in week three against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he saw ghosts out there. He held onto the ball way too long, and the Tampa Bay defense just absolutely swarmed him. He got sacked six times on the day. Not a lot of productivity for the Broncos offensively when Driskel was in there. So then they went with Brett Rippon against the New York Jets, and Brett Rippon, for the most part, did a pretty good job, but then he had three boneheaded interceptions trying to force balls into coverage, and it kind of went away from the Broncos' identity a little bit. I feel like this is a Broncos team that is a rushing attack first. They lost Phillip Lindsay week one in the first half, and then he just made his return last Sunday against New England, was able to get over 100 yards rushing, and then they also got Drew Lock back. And Locke, his ball placement on the deep throws was really good last week against New England. And then he had two interceptions in that fourth quarter that I don't know why the coaches wanted to force the ball downfield. The first one was a miscommunication to him and Tim Patrick. The other one was him just trying to be aggressive. And the safeties made a great play for New England. You can't make those mistakes against a team like Kansas City, because if you turn it over, they could put up points at any given moment with the offense that they have. I'd just say for the Broncos offensively, Chris, it's really just been about consistency. This is a new offensive scheme. They didn't really get a training camp to install it. And when you lose your quarterback after week one and then he just gets in, you're still going to go through some growing pains. But now the Broncos expected to have both Melvin Gordon back and Phillip Lindsay back this week. You're going to see both of them on the field at the same time together. Noah Fant also has a chance to make his return, and KJ Hamler. And so the emergence of Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy, the Broncos weapons, I think, are starting to get reacclimated a little bit, but consistency has been the key for Denver.
Well, I'm glad you bring up Fant and Hamler. I was just about to ask you about those guys. So you think they'll be back this week?
There's a chance. I think Noah Fant's probably more likely right now than KJ Hamler. So what KJ has to do this week, starting today at practice, he's going to be working on testing his hamstring out. It's been an issue since the NFL scouting combine. It prohibited him from running and testing in the combine. And then he also injured it in training camp and sat out. He didn't make his return to the NFL till week two against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then in the New York Jets game, he tweaked it again. So he's going to test it, and if it doesn't hold up, there's a chance that he could go on injured reserve. But if he can come back, it gives the Broncos a true speed element. He and Tyreek Hill are probably, if you look in the AFC West between him, you look at Henry Ruggs and Tyreek Hill, I think that the AFC West has some three track star speed type players, and it would be a big boost for the Broncos offensively. But as of right now, it's questionable.
Well, and you look at this Broncos team, and the thing that's always really stood out to me about them is you look at their offensive line. I think they've really struggled there. You know, Garrett Bowles, I have not been impressed with. What have you seen from the offensive line so far this year? And if I remember correctly, you guys lost your right tackle to opting out of COVID, correct?
Yeah, Juwan James opted out before the season, but the biggest surprise for the Broncos on the offensive line this year is Garrett Bowles has played his best football of his career, hasn't allowed a sack, hasn't allowed many pressures as all. He's been very disciplined. the Broncos' struggles this year have really come on the interior of the offensive line with Dalton Risner, second-year player. More than likely, he's going to be doubtful for this game on Sunday against Kansas City. Austin Schlottman will more than likely get the start at left guard. Lloyd Cushenberry is a rookie center. And then Graham Glasgow. A lot of the guards have had to help out a little bit on Lloyd Cushenberry to be able to help out on the interior. But I think with Chris Jones there on the interior, I can see Kansas City putting him on a zero technique, head up on the center, and then I can see them blitzing the inside backers. I know that the Chiefs are going to come out here and try to pressure the Broncos. Locke's going to have to make decisive throws, but the Broncos have been surprisingly decent at the tackle position, at left tackle, and then Damar Dotson, a veteran guy, has done pretty well the last couple of weeks filling in. Elijah Wilkinson was a starter after Juwan James opted out, but Elijah Wilkinson went on IR as well, so now Damar Dotson's in there. But Garrett Bowles played really well this season, and he is actually in line for a contract extension.
It's kind of funny considering the way he's played the past couple of years. I never thought I'd hear you be saying that. But you sit here and you look at this game, and I think obviously we both think that both of these teams have good offenses, and I would have to agree with that sentiment. So you look at the Denver defense, and you know obviously you lost Von Miller to start the season. We don't think, or at least I haven't seen anything where they think that he's going to be back. And you know if they continue on their kind of projection right now, I can't imagine they'd want to bring him back if they're not, you know, fighting for a playoff spot. But what have you seen from the rest of the defense so far from Denver?
Well, it's really tough to say in terms of Von Miller. I mean, his timeline, he's been at the practice facility a lot lately. He's in a boot. He's kind of on the scooter right now. Von is targeting a return in mid-December, even though the odds of it are very, very, very unlikely at this point. That is where Von is focused on. And, you know, the Broncos, despite sitting at a 2-3 record right now, they still believe that they are capable of winning some games down the stretch. They lost to Tennessee in week one. They lost to Tampa Bay. And then they lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they lost to some pretty damn good football teams. But then the schedule down the stretch, the Broncos are going to be playing some pretty damn good football teams in the coming weeks as well. And it starts this Sunday against Kansas City. So it's going to be a big test for them. But defensively, guys like Malik Reed have stepped up. He had a 2-sack performance against the Patriots last week. Bradley Chubb has been getting back into form as well. He's registered a sack on Cam Newton as well. Anthony Ciccolo, a practice squad pickup from the New Orleans Saints this year. The Broncos have implemented him, and they've been very aggressive blitzing the inside linebackers. So defensively, they're starting to get more sacks, and they're getting more takeaways. And Vic Fangio has really changed his approach towards being more aggressive, blitzing, disguising coverages. And right now, it's playing to the favor of Denver. I don't know how successful you could be doing that same formula against the Kansas City Chiefs, because when they go empty or they go spread 3-by-1, or they go gun and they release the tailback to the flats. I mean, there's so many different options, and Patrick Mahomes is so good at identifying where the blitz is at and throwing. It's going to be hard for Denver, and I'm really intrigued to see how they match up and how they designed a scheme against the Kansas City Chiefs offense this week.
Well, and I'm glad you bring up the fact that they want to blitz the quarterback, and that's really how Denver's defense plays, because I think Mahomes is probably one of the best in the NFL playing off that blitz. So I would love to see them blitz. Good luck stopping Mahomes, and I'm not trying to be cocky or anything, but he's proven that he can pick that up, and I think that they'd be in a good situation, though. But the one thing that really stands out to me on this defense is you do not have Chris Harris Jr. on it anymore. You know, and obviously Aqib Talib is long gone, but you do have somebody in AJ Bouye. What have you seen from the corner, and what have you seen from that group in general? Because there's been a lot of turnover the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's been a big position. It's been changing. But the Broncos, they found guys that really fit their identity. AJ Bouye could make his return to the lineup. He left the first half of the Tennessee Titans game in week one with a separated shoulder, went on IR. There is a chance that he is back this week for Denver. It could be this week. But the Broncos have been playing Devontae Bosby on the outside and cornerback rookie Michael Ojemudia out of Iowa, the Broncos' third-round selection. And he has been a treat to watch. He's very special. He's a true zone cover corner working on his man coverage right now. He's got deceptively good speed, ability to keep guys in front of him, quick reacting, and he's punched footballs out. He's forced several turnovers, and he's also been in position. He had an interception week one that got negated by a penalty, and then he dropped a clear interception week two in the end zone that Ben Roethlisberger threw to him, and he wishes he could have that one back. But he's been fun to watch. And then you got guys like Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons on the back end. Justin Simmons, in the last two matchups against the Chiefs, he has played really well. He garnered the respect of Patrick Mahomes, who said he's one of the most competitive guys, one of the toughest guys for him to go against, which, you know, Patrick Mahomes makes everything look easy. So I think that's a lot of high praise there for him. But outside of that, and Kareem Jackson's just a heat-seeking missile. He's been big. And so the Broncos have really benefited from their secondary this year. I think it's much more improved than what they've had. But then again, when you're playing the speed and all the weapons that Kansas City has, I think the biggest test of the season for them is going to come on Sunday.
Well, and when you look at this game, this is going to be my last question to you. When you look at this game and you have Kansas City's high-powered offense versus Denver's high-powered weapons and an offense that I think – I agree with you. I think that they're going to get going again. I think Drew Lock coming back from an injury, I think, you know, a couple more games under his belt is going to really help this team in general. But where do you sense that this team is really with even the coaching standpoint at 2-3? I understand, you know, they've had some tough games, but you're right. They're going to continue to have tough games the rest of the season. How are you feeling about Vic Fangio and so far in this part of the year for Denver?
I tell you, there's Broncos fans that are super impatient with anything. You know, if there's a 2-point loss, it's fire everybody. I love Vic Fangio. I've had a chance to talk with several of the coaches, talk with a lot of the players. They love Vic Fangio's philosophy, and the culture that Denver has built has been closer than it's been in a long time, probably in the last 5 years. They are a really close-knit group. They're very young, and they have a lot of things to build on in the future going forward. That's why the Broncos brought in Vic Fangio, because they believe he could build something special in Denver from a culture standpoint, identity, which they believe their identity is a strong defensive team. And then eventually it's going to transition to strong defense, strong rushing attack, ability to open up with the pass eventually. But they are in good position with Vic Fangio. And I think that, you know, a lot of teams right now would love to have a coach like Vic and his defensive mind and the staff that they have in place, a lot of experience. John Pagano at outside backer. You have Pat Shurmur as the OC, and then Mike Shula is the quarterback coach. This is a team that's really focused on player development, and that's what we've seen so far in the last 2 years from Denver.
Cody, I really appreciate it. Thank you for all your insight about the Denver Broncos. And that is going to be it for us, folks. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.